The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Let's take a look at that Chicago defense.
Lance Briggs, Desert Swarm, Arizona.
Lance Briggs.
Bears bring four, now fifth, and it's Lance Briggs!
For him to come here and secure his name in the history of the Chicago Bears as being one of the greatest to ever wear the 55 jersey.
Chicago Bears linebacker for 12 seasons.
Lance always put himself in position to make plays. Put the team first, great teammate.
It's right into the hands of Briggs, and Briggs is going! And Lance Briggs with a second defensive score tonight for Chicago!
Seven-time Pro Bowl selection.
You know, he's been here for a long time. You know, he probably played for Mr. Hollis as well. So.
Lance Briggs tumbles into the end zone. Touchdown.
Three-time All-Pro.
Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. Those two guys quite likely will be visiting each other in the Hall of Fame.
I played alongside this beast for 10 years. He made me a better player because if I didn't play well, he'd make all the plays and I'd just be a guy out there. He elevated not only my game, but the entire defense. His enthusiasm and excitement was contagious. We'll be back here in a couple years for your induction, big time.
Lance Briggs with Spiegel and Holmes.
El Boogie dances in.
On 670 The Score.
It is our pleasure as a station that loves linebackers who wear the number 55 to let you know that we have got El Boogie himself. Lance Briggs is going to be joining us on Tuesdays on the Spiegel and Holmes show. El Boogie, how you be?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm getting a pedicure right now, FYI.
That is outstanding. That's the treatment you deserve, Lance. Look at him in that chair right there, man.
Yeah.
Now,
you see my feet right there?
Listen,
this is the place to be. It's called Enjoy Salon. All right. They take care of your toes and your hands, okay?
Oh, now, Lance, that is phenomenal. I got a pedicure while we were in Vegas. I love the pedicures. Glad to see you like it. Question, do you go for a color on the toes? Is that ever an option for you, sir?
Look at my face. No. No, I do not know. There's no coloring on my toenails.
Okay.
It'll just, this is treatment that my feet need. You know that people don't pay enough attention to their feet. All right, the feet carry them everywhere they go, and people do not take enough care of their feet, and that's a point of interest for me in retirement.
Well, understand, I do put a color on my toes just because I have a tendency to, like, pick at those toenails as a nasty habit.
I think we're probably getting too far into the toe thing
now.
You
think so?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know, man. Well, I think this is what people tune in for.
No.
This is not how you beat
color,
Wojo?
What color? Out of curiosity, what color?
Dark, black, or dark something.
Gothic. Now, you go gothic.
Yeah. All right. Now that is too far. Lawrence, I agree. I'm going to pull the release cord, and we'll go football.
I appreciate that. Well, Boogie, we're so happy to have you on the show, man. The people have been wanting it, and the fact that you are in the Twitch stream with folks is awesome. So thank you for being a part of the show. And who knew your debut episode, there'd be big news about the Bears. So what's your reaction to them moving on from Shane Waldron?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, listen, we all know that we work in a production-based business. So if the producers aren't producing, at some point there's going to be a snip. And it's too much. there's been too many weeks of inactive or unproductive offense. So it was only a matter of time before this happened. Actually, people were calling for it before now. I'm not surprised. But, you know, it's also not a decision you can't just make. You have to have something in place to make that decision. These are tough decisions. So if you're going to fire an offensive coordinator, you also have to have something in place or a plan for who's going to step in next and say, hey, listen, this is how I'm going to approach, you know, coordinating our offense moving forward. You know, starting with next week, this is how we're going to approach it. This is my approach. This is my philosophy. And you have to be comfortable with that.
How important is the personality for an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator? I wonder if they're different in terms of strength of personality and leadership, because we've heard that Shane's was not super magnetic or strong, frankly.
I mean, I don't know if magnetic is, you have to be magnetic or anything like that. You have to know how to lead men. And, you know, the analytics are good. You know, you can be a smart, obviously you want him to be smart to look at a defense and someone to call down and say, hey, this is how they're attacking us, or this is what they're doing on first down, and immediately say, okay, I know what I want to do. I know how I want to attack that based off of our personnel and our strengths. But the along with the analytics, and I believe that the NFL right now is a very analytical league. You know, a lot of smart guys, but not a lot of great leaders of men. So you have to be able to lead men. You have to be able to take charge of those guys in that room, because once you do, they'll run through a brick wall for you, you know, and that doesn't seem to be the case with the Bears right now, because I see guys pulling in a lot of different directions right now, fellas. A lot of different directions right now where I see the players standing.
What does it take to lead men? Like what kind of person, what do you need from a coach in that regard?
Well, number one, if you want to lead men, you got to be willing to fight every one of them in the room, you know, and that's it really comes down to it. And that's all, you know, football is a control fight, you know, and you know, you have to be able to challenge them at the moment that you see an issue. You don't cover it up. You don't walk away. You don't pretend like you don't see it. You address it right now. You know, you're sharp. You're very translucent about what you want out of them, about what you need. And you're very sharp. And one thing that Lovey used to always say at the very first meeting, listen, I will fine you the maximum amount that is allowed for anything that you do that you're not supposed to be doing. So know that out the gate.
When you've heard people talk about Caleb, what have you heard them say?
I mean, everybody was excited. They said, oh man, he makes these throws that nobody else can make. He's so good. He's so talented. He makes these magical throws. Okay. Now, the things that I've been hearing since week one is, well, we just got to give him some time. Well, we just kept putting pressure on him. Well, we just have to do this. We just have to do that. We just have to do this. He just has to see this a little bit more. There's a lot of, and of course, you know, listen, When I do my criticisms on Caleb, it's not that I don't want him to succeed. I do. And I know that it's going to take time. But I also knew exactly what we were getting. You know, we're getting a quarterback that needs time, and we throw him right into the fire, and we say, we want you to drop back, and we want you to win with your arm. I don't think it's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to the organization. We got rid of Luke Getsy last year, and then we pick up Shane Waldron, which to me is another form of Luke Getsy. So, well, I'm not surprised that the new OC has been fired at this point.
We've been having a lot of conversations. We're talking with Lance Briggs here on Spiegel and Holmes. A lot of conversations about the locker room and what it's like for coaches to handle the locker room. And a lot of guys have been outspoken on this roster already this year, which, you know, OG has been talking about it. Olin's been talking about it. Yeah, maybe there's too much talking for guys that haven't won a lot. I'd love Correct. To know what your perspective is on that. You agree with Olin, and what's it like when you do have a bunch of guys that are talking publicly about what's happening with the team?
I'm not a big fan of that. You know, whether you like the situation or you don't, that you're in, when you win, you talk about the team. When you lose, you talk about what you can do better or what you could have done better in the game. So when situations where you, you know, the questions in there will direct them at a specific coach, player, or situation, and you fall. You don't want to fall into that trap. You want to make sure that what stays, what happens behind those closed doors, or your feelings behind closed doors, stay there, because the more that you open up, the more that you create that disconnect, you know, and dysfunction within the organization.
It seemed like, though, they were just starved for some real talk, Lance. Like they were starved for the coaches to be taking some accountability, and they finally said, well, screw it. Let's just say it publicly, because the coaches weren't doing it privately. Is that understandable at all, or is that still when you got to keep it in your pants and not bring it to the media?
You always got to keep it in your pants, though.
That's probably good advice.
You know what? I just think you get to a point, and we're always wanting to say something that is bothering us, you know, and that's also the reason why it's important to know who's mic'd up for games. You know, it's important to know who's mic'd up for games, because, you know, I may have a problem with one of my coaches and we're talking about him on the sideline. And if you're mic'd up, you know, it doesn't matter what they say, if it's protected or not, you know, that's out there now. It's a hot mic. That's called a hot mic. So you have to be careful. You got to be careful about those things. And once you open that door, now it opens up that more questions for you to answer. And then they're going to have that opens up whoever you were talking about, them and anybody that they're involved with. And now you have distractions and you can't focus on going in and playing the game and focus on your opponent.
Lance, I can't stop thinking about what you said in the answer about how coaches need to be to lead men, and that they got to be ready to fight everybody in the room, because there's so many of us who cover sports and have never played at the level that you reached, you know? And of course, yeah. And we might look at analytics, as you've mentioned, or we might look at schematics or look at it any number of ways, but like that mm-hmm. simple bit of toughness. It's specific to football. It's like it gets underplayed too often on radio stations like this one, doesn't it?
Listen, I've been on the field and I've seen fights happen at practice, and I've looked over, you know, and seen the head coach, you know, pretend like he didn't see anything. He's going in the opposite direction, you know, and so that becomes a topic where guys will say, well, where was the head coach? Oh, he didn't know. He was pretending like he didn't realize the fight was even happening, you know. And I've also seen coaches run right in there, you know. And you see the coaches that have real respect from their players, you know. And when they grab their attention, no matter how upset they are, they'll get their attention. You know, those are the coaches that you're looking for, you know. And those are coaches that are respected. Hopefully, those coaches are analytical enough and smart enough to be able to make all the adjustments needed to win games.
What I think is really interesting about what you're saying, Boogie, is think of the coach that he used as an example, Speaks. Like, Lovie Smith wasn't some monster yelling at everyone.
Yeah. No, that's not what it took.
But all of those guys, they knew who the boss was.
And he used at his disposal, he used this idea of, whatever the most money I can take from you, I'm going to do that, with toughness behind it. You don't literally have to threaten to fight you, but he can hurt you in any number of ways.
Absolutely. 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 And he wasn't going to run away from any situation. You know, he wasn't going to run away from any situation. And he was going to be the voice of his reason. You know, his reason didn't always fall in what we wanted, but it's what we're going to do. And he'll tell you right now, we wanted to go to London. We wanted to go to London for a week. And we have been bothering him for months about, you know, why do we have to go there on Thursday? You know, and he shut that whole thing down, you know. I mean, in his own lovey voice, you know, he yelled at everybody, we're going on Thursday, and that's all it's going to be. That's what it is. And that's the end of it. You know, everybody's had a parent that said that's the end of it.
Wait, are you that parent now?
I am. I use a little different way. I use it a little different variants of it, but yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is it working?
Oh, it works.
Yeah,
it works. There's a tone. There's a tone that works. Listen, there's a tone that works in the house and on the field, guys.
Well, Lance Briggs has a child that's doing pretty damn well. Right, Lawrence?
Yeah, everyone. He is out there coaching, doing everything that he needs to do with the kiddos, and that's what I like to see with Boogie. Yeah, I think about you before every Packers game, 55, because Speaks at the University of Arizona, they have this interactive football display in the football office, and I was going down to Tucson once, and Boogie's like, are you going to go see the football office? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go check it out. I was there for a basketball game, but I made sure that I checked out the football office. There is a picture of Lance Briggs bending Bubba Franks' head backwards.
As a bear and a Packer.
As a bear and a Packer.
Tremendous.
And usually Lance will tweet this picture out on Packer Week and be like, finish the job. I'm wondering, sir, with it being Packers Week and things being so crazy, what are your hopes for this week and this Bears team against Green Bay?
You know, the thing that I'm looking for this week is that we find something to stick to commit to. There the things that we have that haven't worked for us is offensive production. Our defense has held teams to field goal after field goal. And when you do that, you give the team a chance at the end of the game. And we haven't had any effective production from our offense. So we have to get that. We have that production. We're looking at a 10. Our defense giving up probably 10 points at most if our offense can stay on the field and get points out of it. So in a rivalry game, find a way. We have a new OC. Find a way to produce. More than anything, produce, please.
I love it. That is an amazing picture of Bubba being bent back. It reminds you.
And with the ball just floating in the air.
Well, it's funny because like I often think of Lance in terms of his speed and athleticism as a backer. But that picture just reminds you of just how thick, how granite that dude, the way that you played that strong and that big.
All-time tackle leader.
Yeah, that'll.
Thank you.
I'd be pretty good. I'd be pretty represented because the first play I was thinking about like great Lance Briggs moments was him was you busting. I said him to Lawrence like Lance Briggs isn't on the Zoom. Lance was you bursting through the line to get an ankle tackle on Sean Alexander on 4th and 1 against Seattle in the
big time play.
If you don't say so, your damn self, right?
That was a great moment. One of the best moments I've ever had.
Oh, man. Because, I mean, that stop was huge. And that's you going lower and getting down. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, that's the one. That's the first one I thought of for Lance. So I love that you remember it. Yeah.
Well, Boogie, we appreciate that you're going to be with us every week, man, and this is great. And obviously, you know how I feel about you, and Speaks is right there with me. So, thanks so much for making this a thing, and we can't wait. And hopefully, we'll have some good times to talk about soon.
Please do, all right? Because we have a lot more of the season to go, and I can't be depressed the rest of the year.
No, we won't let it happen. Hey, one more shot of the toes, Lance, on the way out. Have they moved on to the callus treatment? Like, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fresh now. Look at this right here. Look at that. Woo! Click the pose, right?
Lance getting it done. Thank you, sir.
I think this might be a first. All Boogie, be well, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Every week. Every,
you got it. All right, bye-bye.
Every week we hook up with Lance in the salon. Yeah, see what kind of treatment he's getting.
Now I kind of want to make it a bit. Now I feel like someone in our sales department should just go sell that.
Well, I mean, he dropped the name of the place. You know
what I mean?
They got some free love right there.
I feel like someone should just go, we should find a salon for Lance to be at every single week getting his mani-pedi.
He's right about the care of the feet, man. It makes a big difference. You got a hangnail, you got a callus out there, you got some extra skin that's causing you a problem, giving you a little hitch in your giddy up, as Terry Bores used to say. Go get it taken care of.
Texter is right. Feet is how we're going to beat Wojo. That is how we're going to do it.
Rex Ryan, very interested in this show.
Oh, my God. He's totally going to watch that, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Somebody's going to send him that.
He says he only likes his wife's toes.
Well, we don't know that.
That's the whole thing. We had Jalen Johnson on yesterday, and there was a lot he had to say. a lot.
Yeah, he's always itching to tell the truth. He likes to tell the truth. He enjoys the communication part of it. And he revealed the truth of the reality on this roster in terms of some players being like others and others not being like some.
We're going to let you hear it, and we're going to react to it next here on The Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help from mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
What do you do to possibly change that? That's one of our favorite things about Jalen Johnson. The man thinks very clearly, takes his time before he answers the question. Sometimes that means he will restate the question to you after you ask it. Yesterday, Lawrence, he flat out asked you at one point to ask the question again so he could think about it. And he said that. Remember? He said, could you ask that again so I could think about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Absolutely.
Because what you end up getting is a thoughtful answer. I think as far as the list of athletes that we've had to deal with, when it comes to you giving them a question and them being thoughtful, like the person I immediately think about is Paul Konerko. Paul Konerko, he really thought about your question.
Yeah.
And he would sometimes sit there for 5-10 seconds of silence to think about it and give you like the best answer. He didn't talk a ton, but when he did talk, I always loved listening to him.
I would say that both Cubs who have been regulars the past couple years, Ian Happ and Nico Hoerner, share some of that with Konerko in terms of really trying to be thoughtful and talk about it with you. And Jalen is definitely that. And the news of the day is Shane Waldron losing his job and Thomas Brown being the new guy. And we'll talk about that a lot the rest of the show. But this stuff that we had with Jalen yesterday, it was a conversation that eventually took a turn.
I think that inside the cabana, when he started talking about this, we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, wait a minute, there's a lot here. And it has to do with preparation, the concept of preparation. So if you missed it, don't go anywhere. Listen right here. This is Jalen Johnson talking about some of the issues of preparation that the Bears have throughout the week.
I mean, everybody has their, I would say, combination of sticking to what has gotten them to a certain point and then also kind of adjusting, figuring out what it is that we need to do. And I think even for the players, we need to vocalize more also too. It's like, okay, well, coach, I need more help with X, Y, Z, or whatever it is. Each position group, each person kind of has their own thing that they feel like, hey, I need to do this better. And quite honestly speaking, there's some things that you can do and some things that you're not going to be able to do throughout the duration of a practice. So, I mean, I feel like to a certain point, it's up to the coaches. And then to another point, it's up to that player to get those certain reps or get certain things or see certain looks that they want to get to be able to help them get over that hump to give them the best chance to execute on Sunday.
So are there people on this team that, you know, some people work harder than others? It's just human nature. right?
Yeah, it's not really even a question.
Yeah, it's just what happens. So how can you change that? What do you do to possibly change that if you can do anything as a player in that regard?
What can I do to possibly change that? Honestly, I've been fighting myself with this question for a long time. Because I've thought about it, I've been asked the question, and I think honestly for me, part of me says that there's nothing you can do, and a part of me says that there's something that you can do. Because I'm gonna use your office, for example. I'm gonna use you and Lauren. So if you're used to getting extra or staying after your designated hours, and you go over and you see how you can do something better, and you work at it, and you start getting results. And then Lauren sees you, and he still just kind of lollygags, laughs, hey, all right, I'm gonna see you later, and then he leaves. And it's like you do that for a long time, and you see somebody see you getting work, and it's like at some point you kind of hey, whatever, you want to work out, yeah. And then some guys will leave, or he'll ask you, hey, what is it that you do, and you'll tell him, and then he doesn't do it. So it's like at a certain point, it's like you kind of think in your head, like maybe he just don't give a damn how I give a damn. And it's like at the end of the day, that's okay. But how can you can't necessarily change somebody's want to or hunger to do something, to be uncomfortable. I mean, there's times where he can, oh, well, I got to pick my daughter from school. It's like, yeah, you got to pick your daughter from school. But sometimes, man, you got to ask somebody else to pick your daughter from school so you can get this dang work. So our radio show can be the best that it can be. But I feel like it's oftentimes there's always a rhyme or reason or something better to do. And those opportunities are being taken. And then it's, oh, well, we all want to win. No, we all don't want to win at the same level. Like we all don't want to grow this radio show at the same level, because clearly there's not a level of application that has been going on. So, I mean, it's, you can tell somebody to do it. I mean, like they say, you take the horse to the well, but you can't make him drink. At the end of the day, we got to have a lot of guys that are thirsty. And I feel like there's definitely an area of improvement for everybody, players, coaches, I mean, everybody involved, is a level of hunger and thirst to be able to truly get the job done.
We gave him an analogy yesterday, or an allegory, as you referred to it yesterday, and he saw his opportunity to speak some very simple truths about his workplace.
What I love about the beginning of that is him talking about not practice overall, but the idea of the specifics. And you know, I kind of think about him working with, you remember in Hard Knocks where Rome Odunze is talking to Jalen about his footwork on his get off?
It's after a practice, and Rome is running like option routes on Jalen, and they're talking about what Jalen reads of a wide receiver, and Rome is talking about what he's trying to do, and they're helping each other get better. That was an iron sharpens iron moment.
And like the specifics of what's your technique? Are you doing all of those things? Like, cause that's where I'm stuck. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. If you're practicing the wrong thing, but you're practicing it 1,000 times, sure, you're practicing hard, but you're not practicing smart. And you're not doing the things that are going to make you better. You're just kind of continuing doing the wrong stuff without taking on the coaching or taking on the peer coaching that's going on to try and make you a better player.
Practice makes permanent, doesn't make perfect. That's exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, how many times have you seen it where you see a guy like, you know, Shane and I obviously play softball together
at a very high level.
I mean, pretty high, but like not getting your footwork together while you're fielding a ground ball. Like, and what that, if you're not used to it, it can look bad.
And I love that you're taking it to an offensive player working with Jalen, because this is how they practice. So when people hear that, there might be some that are like, well, is he talking about some defensive players? He could very well be talking about offensive skill players that he goes against. He could, it could be a lot of different things.
Well, he in our conversation, and it's worth going back to listen to all of it, but on the show podcast, you can check it out. He also talked about how he felt like defensively, you know, they made some mistakes against New England, and there were some gap integrity issues.
Mm-hmm.
And this defense, just from what I know of it, of covering a similar but not the same defense, is if one guy gets out of his gap, like the immediate thing that a teammate, like I think someone who is being a good teammate would go,
hey, man,
he's out of his gap. I got to go cover his gap. Now your gap is uncovered.
Now you're expecting somebody else to go cover yours.
Now someone has to cover your gap. And it becomes the domino effect of there is a big hole somewhere in your defense. Most of the time when you do that, and you can end up giving up a big play because of it. We've seen it. We saw a little bit of it in the Arizona game when it happened. We saw a little bit of it in the Washington game early on where players are getting washed out of plays.
Sure.
Because they're in the wrong spot. Guys that are supposed to have outside contain are peeking inside and they're getting look, one of the things that New England, we haven't gotten to this, and maybe we'll do it before we turn the page tomorrow. One of the things that New England said that they saw on film about the Bears was Tyreek Stevenson specifically cheats and peeks inside on plays. And so they knew that with a little bit of eye manipulation, they could freeze him on some of those plays.
Hey, they scored a touchdown on a play just like that, didn't they, Lawrence? Scored a touchdown on Tyreek Stevenson on a play exactly like that.
They sure did.
Can I make a point on how the offense could play into this from Jalen's perspective? There's a great thread that I'll share, and it's something I want to discuss with you about how Shane Waldron, according to this particular analyst, has been using the wide receivers wrong. DJ Moore in the wrong role. Roma Dunze in the wrong role. Keenan Allen sometimes in the wrong role in terms of X and Y and patterns that they should be running and depth of target plays into it and all of this. If you're being told to practice the wrong thing and still not necessarily practicing it hard or not caring as much as another guy.
Does it change your point of view when you know it's wrong?
Exactly. And that's how bad coaching can demoralize an effort, and then the bad effort can compound the bad coaching, and you end up with an offense that has 27 points in 3 weeks. You know? So Jalen speaking truth to players' work ethics leads us to try and figure out which players they are, and it doesn't take long to look on either side of the ball to find some possible options.
I know that with the Shane Waldron firing, is it feels like there's been something that's been done here. I also just think that it's important to – I'm glad we brought the Jalen back. It's important. Look, there's a lot of problems with the Bears.
Not just the coaching.
But the Waldron thing was huge.
Yeah, but the coaching can lead to a lot of them, though.
One of the guys that was on this whole thing early on was Dave Softy Mahler. He is going to join us because he had all of this stuff down on Shane Waldron. Don't go anywhere. He gets to take a victory lap next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
I just don't get it. I know what I know about Shane Waldron. You know, there's nothing about this hire that excites me at all. I mean, was there anything about the Seahawks offense that you guys watched a year ago or the last 2 years where you said to yourself, wow, look at that scheme. Look at that unbelievable, innovative approach that Shane Waldron took. I mean, his offenses are kind of predictable. They're kind of boring. He doesn't have head coach written on him at all. I mean, there's about as much personality in this cell phone I'm on than there is in Shane Waldron. So, I don't know. I hate to tell you any differently. I don't look at Shane Waldron and see a future leader of men.
Absolutely hate the play call. They were very inept.
A victory lap is about to be had. By the way, this Sunday, join Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. They'll host the pregame show there from 9 a.m. until noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Green Bay. That's this Sunday at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. And if you have not been to Wonderverse, it is awesome. And the guys are going to be there doing the show. Go see them out in Oak Brook. It's a really good time.
So, Lawrence, for years, this radio station has been calling Dave Softy Mahler to get the ins and outs of a Seattle sports subject we need to know about. And the Bears entrusted the install of the offense, the teaching of the NFL of Caleb Williams to one Shane Waldron. And that voice you heard was Softy, who we bring in now. To ask, how did you know, and what did you know, and why didn't you call them? Because he only made it 10 games, and frankly, it should have been 9, if even that, Dave.
Yeah, I was way off. I thought the guy would last at least until Thanksgiving, guys. So I'm sorry about that. I blew it big time. No idea what the hell I'm talking about, and I'm glad that you have me on to roast me because I deserve it. How are you?
We are so happy that you're here, and we are here for you to take the victory lap on this one. It's interesting, too, because over the last couple of weeks, stuff is surface of Pete Carroll kind of telling you that Shane Waldron isn't any good. So I keep wondering what the Bears' hiring process was and who did they make their phone calls to? Because it feels like had they made one phone call, they could have avoided this.
Well, they could have called me, for God's sake, and they could have avoided it. I mean, never mind calling Pete Carroll or John Schneider or, you know, any one of those Seahawks offensive players that played for him the last few years in Seattle. They could have called me. They could have called any other media member. And, look, obviously I'm being sarcastic. I mean, the Bears aren't going to give a damn what some schmuck media member in Seattle thinks, but maybe they should. Maybe they should start thinking about what media people think, because they certainly act like it. And they certainly behave like they should care what media people think. And when you guys had me on, you know, back in January or, you know, whatever it was, I mean, I just didn't understand it. It's like, you know, what about this guy in a meeting or an interview or when he's throwing plays up on a whiteboard? What is it about him that made you want to entrust him with guys like Caleb Williams and whoever they would have drafted later on? They got Adunze, obviously, down the road. I mean, there's just nothing there. And, you know, here's the thing about Shane that I just think is, I mean, he's a nice guy. He's not a jerk. He's not an a-hole. He's just in way over his head. He doesn't exude confidence whatsoever. He has no personality at all. He doesn't command a room. Caleb Williams, I don't know how he's been acting in Chicago with you guys, and I can't comment on that. But when he was at USC, he was known as kind of an egomaniac and a little bit of a prima donna, and they needed somebody to come in here and corral that. And if you thought that Waldron was that guy who would, you know, sit down for an interview and stare at the floor or stare over his shoulder and waiting for someone to kind of, you know, save him from whatever interview he was doing, he just didn't have the personality for any of that. So I just, like, did they even talk to this guy? Did they just see Sean McVay disciple and see and just think that's enough and just hand the guy the gig? I mean, honestly, from my perspective, it made it sound like the Bears just have no damn clue what the hell they're doing when it comes to hiring coaches.
That's where we're left 10 weeks in, Softy, and you knew it. The part that emboldens the idea of asking a media member is this thing about the public perception, which we've now seen in terms of his energy at the podium, what he says, and his ability to command. And that is what has slowly creeped out of the building itself, that he doesn't command their attention and all of that stuff. Want to follow up on the Caleb thing in a minute, but let's go back to Lawrence's Pete Carroll thing. Did Pete Carroll like this guy? 3 years, dude. Pete Carroll doesn't strike us as a leader that would accept a personality like that, or was Pete so strong that it made this guy's personality survivable? Why did it work?
First of all, I don't think it really did work with Shane Waldron in the end. And two things. Number one, I think they wanted to give Shane Waldron every chance to actually get the job done because they just fired Brian Schottenheimer. And Brian Schottenheimer was the guy, if you remember, the first 8 weeks of his last year in Seattle, the offense was cooking. Russell was playing really well. And there was some real potential there. So if you're going to fire that guy, you better damn well have an answer. And I feel like Shane Waldron was maybe given a little bit more slack because he was coming in after Brian Schottenheimer got whacked. And then number three, I think we're kind of finding out, at least in Seattle, guys, that maybe Pete Carroll didn't have as much authority as we thought he did at the end. I mean, he was the one that was fired, not John Schneider, right? I mean, John Schneider was retained and Pete Carroll was let go by Jody Allen. So I think in the end, Pete Carroll may have lost some of that ultimate authority that he thought that he had and maybe that he did have 10 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. So I don't know if this was really even his call to hang on to Shane Waldron as long as they did in Seattle. Wow. But I just think in the end, it was the right move by the Bears. As he was texting your producer today, you know, for as much as we want to slam the Bears for their history and all that, and totally warranted. Today's a good day. Today should be looked at as a good day for Chicago fans because it's step one to getting some real coaches in there to coach guys like Caleb Williams. Hopefully, if you get the job done and do it the right way this time.
Softy, did you see the video of Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams on the bench where Shane Waldron is maniacally laughing and you could just see Caleb Williams, you could see like the thought bubble of like, man, we got to get this guy about it.
He's shaking his head while Shane is trying to laugh off an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it, guys, and it's not surprising to see that. I just think the guy was just, he was just completely in over his head, not a leader, all the things that we've already talked about and discussed, you know, had a real lack of confidence. And you've been around people like that, never mind football coaches, but just people that when you talk to them, they stare at the floor. They don't look you in the eye. They don't look like real leaders and people that can convince people to follow them. And especially at that stage where you got a lot of alpha males and you need someone to come in there and grab everybody by the balls and say, this is the way it's going to be done. And I know what I'm doing. And here's proof that I know what I'm doing. He just wasn't that guy whatsoever. So you need somebody like that, I think, in your next coordinator job to work with guys like Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. But I mean, honestly, it's just, I know we're harping on the point a little bit, and I'm certain you guys have just, you know, completely slammed the Bears for all of this, but it just makes you wonder who's doing the hiring, who's making those calls for Chicago, what they would see in this guy that would make them think he's the right answer. So, I mean, that would be my biggest concern as a Bears fan. Do these guys even know what they're doing? Did they do their homework? And if they did do their homework, did they even understand any of it? Like, do they have anybody in the building who even understands offensive football, honestly?
Well, that's a great question. And where we started the show, questioning the hiring process and what they think they know about teaching a young quarterback. Before we let you go, Softy, and you're the best, and we could do this forever, but you have a life, apparently. So congrats on that.
No life.
Can you tell us any of that Caleb Williams stuff that you're hinting at from USC? Because he's coming here very polished, but as the play has regressed, some of the bloom is coming off the rose to some people.
Well, I mean, I just think, first of all, you got to get a guy like a Petros Papadakis to jump on with you. You guys know Petros, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
You know, knows that USC program in and out. I mean, look, I mean, when a guy's walking around painting his fingernails, there's going to be people in the locker room that just kind of laugh that off. When a guy loses a football game and then literally jumps into the crowd, into his mom's arms in the fetal position and starts to cry after a loss. I mean, look, I'm all for players getting emotional when the context is warranted. I'm an emotional guy myself. I'll be honest with you. I've shed many tears over sporting events in my life. But I think when you lose a game like that and you curl up into a ball in your mom's arms in the stands, I mean, there's going to be people that would kind of maybe laugh that off. I mean, this is a guy that was talking about through his agents wanting a piece of whatever franchise drafted him from an ownership perspective. I mean, how big of an ego do you have to be to ask for something that, first of all, isn't even allowed in the NFL? And then second of all, nobody's ever received. So there's just a lot of stories like that that have floated around USC. And again, I don't want to comment on how the guy's doing now, because for all I know, he's totally different. I mean, he may have been humbled. You know, I mean, the last maybe couple of months may have humbled the guy, and maybe he's a phenomenal leader and a phenomenal guy. But I think if you're going to deal with a guy that obviously has a little bit of an ego, for sure, the star mentality in L.A., thinks he's the cock of the walk, blah, 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 you got to get somebody in there with some personality, guys, who can handle that dude and kind of put him in his place and let him know who's boss. And Shane Waldron is not ever, ever going to be that guy. He was never going to be that guy, and he's not going to be the guy. Like, I'm thinking about, like, Mike Holmgren when he was the play caller in Seattle as the head coach, and even in San Francisco. He's a ball buster. I mean, he'll rip your ass just by looking at you. And they need guys like that in Chicago. So that would be the first kind of guy that I'd go after if I'm Ryan Poles and Eberflus to find my next play caller.
Softy, thanks for the time, man. You're the best.
Okay, see you, boys.
Thanks, that is, man. Dave Softy Mahler. I don't think you're going to get the same level of meatballishness from Jason Leisure, but you are going to get a ton of information from him. Jason and the Sun-Times crew have been destroying the Bears, and rightfully so. We'll talk with Leisure next on The Score.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.